present with the Lord. You, when you leave here, you go into the presence of the Lord. Even if you're under the altar, like they are in Revelation chapter 6, waiting for the rest of their brethren to fulfill their course, so that everybody can receive their new body. You see, these are spirits and souls without new bodies. Okay, but and everybody gets their new body at the same time. So the souls under the altar who are crying out to God are going to have to wait till everybody receives it at the same time, according to that verse in Revelation chapter 6.
Till the end of tribulation.
Yep, till the end of tribulation, when all the saints get resurrected and raptured and whatever.
What I'm saying in the salon when people come in, that we talk about the Bible and so forth, what I'm saying is people have a misconception of what belief is, or faith.
Oh, yes. Big time.
And they get real offended if you challenge that faith by what they're doing to walk it out or whatever. I mean, they get real offended.
And you know, there's a word in the Bible, the Greek word apatheia. It's been translated two ways: unbelief and disobedience. Isn't that interesting? Because they are connected. If you don't believe, you won't obey. And every time the Lord talks about judging people at the end of time, He judges them for their disobedience, which judges their unbelief. Because if you've got faith, you will obey. Faith without works is dead. If you've got faith, you will obey. If you've got faith, you will get grace for faith. You will get God's favor for faith. And if you get His favor, you will obey, because He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So they're really connected very well. Disobedience and unbelief. And faith and works are connected very well too. I don't care what the Baptists say about you not being saved by your works. Read James chapter 2. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by God's works through you. And I know that there's a lot of religions out there. I was raised up in one. And I was raised up in Catholicism. And it was a salvation by works. You know, you did certain things and you were okay. You know. But the certain things didn't include being obedient to God necessarily, as keeping sacraments and things like that.
You know, what you said, Kurt, as far as like people get angry or upset when you're not necessarily questioning someone's faith, but they're asking why they haven't received a lot of the times, you know, that I prayed this prayer. Well, I'll be honest with you. I know people that I've had discussion with that they say so strongly that they had faith that at this point in their life now, they're now angry with God. So, all the promises are yea. So, if you didn't receive the promise, and if God's not a liar, then what you're saying is that you're justified, and that God doesn't keep His word. Now, that's a dangerous place to be in, right there. And I've seen a lot of people when they get into that position. To be quite honest with you, that's the position that Job was in. And we saw what happened to Job. Job, you know, was shown in the scriptures that when God was finished with him, he threw himself down prostrate before the Lord and confessed his self-righteousness. Okay, so this idea of faith, we talked about a testimony in this Bible study group some time back. I mean, God does honor the faith when the faith is there. He has to. So when you don't receive, you should back up and really inquire to the Lord about your own faith, because you know what? God's going to give you the promise every time if you have the faith mixed with the Word. Well, we were talking about a lady that was sick unto death. And this lady and her husband had petitioned for prayer. And what had happened was that although the doctors had said that she was going to pass away very shortly, she continued on, and it was the faith and the prayers that was holding things together. Well, by and by, the husband and the wife decided to go where? To Mexico? Down to for some, medical care that they felt would benefit the wife. And one night, they were praying in a circle, and they were praying a prayer that is not a scriptural prayer. And that prayer was, you know, probably how a lot of us still do pray, or a lot of us used to pray. And that is a prayer that has not ever been spoken of in the scriptures. See, if it be thy will, Lord, okay. Well, we do know what God's will is when it comes to coming against the curse, what it is, the healing, the promises, okay? So when we know what God's word is in terms of what his promise is, do we have to say if it is his will? Because he does will that his children be healthy. Well, this husband and wife got to talking to amongst themselves, and they said, well, you've been sick unto death for a long time, and we've been holding on here. Maybe this is being a little bit selfish. And so they prayed the prayer of, if it be thy will, in a group circle about the wife and her health. And what was the outcome of that, David?
She fell dead immediately.
On the spot.
Of course, I think the husband took this as a sign that they had done the right thing, but actually, to tell you the truth, Jesus healed every one of his people that came to him by faith, and there was no place where it wasn't God's will. Not one time did Jesus ever say it wasn't God's will. When they came by faith, they received. One man even did say, Lord, if you will. And he said, I will. Be thou whole. You know, I mean, he questioned him one time and he gave him that. The truth is, when the Bible says very plainly, I believe that God answered this couple very quickly, because for years they had known exactly what the Bible says about healing and stood strong in faith and received many healings, received this for years. They knew too much to turn back to that if it be thy will stuff. Mm-hmm. That's never prayed in the Scripture. Never. For anything that is spoken of as a promise by God. When God says by his stripes you were healed, it's settled. You're healed. He don't want you to believe anything else. Now they understood this. And I'm not condemning them, because they were going through a fiery trial. It's just that the husband had backslidden, fallen into the world. The wife was trying to stay strong on her own. He prayed that prayer, by the way. It was the husband that prayed that maybe we've been selfish, Lord. And right in the middle of their prayer, she fell dead. And the thing was, she wasn't showing any signs. She was very sick, but she wasn't showing any signs of dying immediately.
So what was wrong with her?
And even that she had a cancer. And even her husband, even the medical personnel were shocked that she died like that. Well, the thing is, God is not pleased with us praying that for things that we have promises for. Now, there are things you can pray that about, because you truly don't know the will of God. But this couple did know what the Word of God said concerning this. And this was a prayer of unbelief for them. For some people, God may have mercy on them because they are not founded in the Scriptures and don't understand exactly what it says concerning this. Find out what your rights are, folks, and stand on them. And don't try to talk God into healing you when he's already done it. This is another one of those cases, you know. The disciples, when they went out to heal the sick, they never asked God, was it his will to heal a believer? They went and commanded them. They were so founded on the Word of God, they knew it was their right. They just commanded them to be healed. That's what they did. Commanded them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even say, Father, is it your will? Or ask God to heal them. They never asked God to heal them. Did you ever notice that? There's no place in the Scripture where anybody who ministered healing or deliverance asked God, Lord, will you heal this person? Can't find it in the Word. When they administered healing, they commanded them. You folks that are on the prayer teams, I'll tell you, this will work. When somebody asks for healing, and they are a Christian, And maybe sometimes the Lord will put something in your heart, you know, that may be hindering them. Sometimes He does that. You know, maybe it's an unforgiveness or maybe something like that. Because the Bible says, confess your sins that you may be healed. Maybe they need to confess their sins. But when you discern that they are in right standing with God and they've confessed their sins and they're ready, you know, you can command their healing. You can tell them right out front, you are healed. Because that's what the Word of God says. That is what the Word of God says. We don't have to talk God into... A lot of people are trying to talk God into healing them. And He's already settled the matter when He said, it is finished. You know, Jesus already accomplished that at the cross. Your healing, your deliverance from the curse, your provision, all of that was settled at the cross. Don't waste a lot of time and don't let the devil talk you into praying that prayer concerning any of those things. Now, it is uncertain whether God wants you to move here or move there or who to marry or, you know, those things, you have to find out the will of God. You pray till you find out the will of God, then you've got faith, right?
Those are things that aren't written.
That's right. They're not specifically written in the Scripture. Anytime something's specifically written in the Scripture and you pray that prayer, that's a prayer of unbelief.
Yeah, for the things that aren't written, the Scripture for that is, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, this lady called me months before this. And actually, she had some kind of cancer and she looked like she was, I don't know, 5-6 months pregnant. And I commanded her to be healed and I cursed that cancer in the name of Jesus. And immediately, her stomach went down to normal. And she called me right back. I mean, because after I called it, we hung up and she called me right back. She said, David, it's gone. She says, it was like letting the air out of a balloon. It just went, gone, you know. But you know what? Her family kept making war on her about what she should do about it and so on and so forth, that she ought to have it looked at and also, but, you know, and the more she listened to them, the more the things started coming back. And this time, God was expecting her faith to stand. And she was tried, and again, I'm not condemning anybody that goes through a fiery trial like that. For goodness sake, you don't, by the grace of God, if I went through that, I would trust in His grace to save me. You can't even say what you're going to do. You certainly can't condemn anybody because God could put you in the same situation. Then you'd be in that trial. Now what are you going to do, you see? We depend on God's grace and His mercy to make us stand. So we can't be proud or arrogant enough to judge somebody that's going through a fiery trial. And I'm not judging her, but I did see some things there. And number one, she was very, very double-minded. When I would try to minister to her, somebody who used to be very, very strong and stable in the faith had become very, very double-minded. And so she wasn't getting answers. Like when my faith delivered her the first time, God was now expecting her faith to stand. You know, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. You can give somebody something sometimes. You can give them a gift that's not according to their faith. But I can tell you, sooner or later, they may lose that because they themselves are not exercising faith. Now, Jesus told us that in Matthew chapter 12. He talked about the people in His day losing the healings and the deliverances. He said, to what will I liken this generation? He said, I'll tell you what this generation's like. Like a generation in which the demons have been cast out and they come back 7 times worse. He was saying that generation, people say, well, Jesus never did. When He prayed for people, man, they stayed healed. No, they didn't. Because if you don't come out from under the curse that you were under, everything will come back. When you get a healing or a deliverance from God, just remember this. Now God still expects you to obey. That was grace that you saw. But the very thing that brought that the first time can bring it back. If you got bitterness or unforgiveness, if you got problems like that, guess what? Every curse has its cause. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. If you don't, after God is so merciful to you that He heals you or delivers you or whatever, if you don't deal with the cause, guess what? It might come back.
Could you clarify something? A few minutes ago you had mentioned if you pray for something that's in the Bible, you pray for it, that shows disbelief. Can you... I must have missed something there.
No, if you pray, if it be thy will, when God has already stated his will, as far as healing in this case we were talking about, you know, that by his stripes you were healed.
Right.
It's not... God's will is moot in this condition because he's already told you that he's done it already.
Right.
It's not a matter of what he wills, it's a matter of what he has done, what he says he's done. Do you believe it? You see, now if you say, if you look at that promise that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, and you pray, if it be thy will, you do not believe the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes.
Okay.
See, you can pray that prayer, but what you've done is you've opened the door for the devil, because it's a total prayer of disbelief in that instance. You know,
if you have an understanding of what's being done there too. I mean, if you have no understanding that the Bible says by his stripes you were healed, and you said if it's thy will, Lord, that I be healed, there shouldn't be any harm in saying that if you don't know that it's God's will that you were to be healed
already.
If you didn't know that scripture, you hadn't come to that, you're a baby Christian, never read the word, and you say that, I mean, Lord has mercy on us.
Right.
For our ignorance.
Can I change the subject just a little bit here? I got an email from a brother who felt like in our last meeting I didn't have good discernment of somebody who was carrying a conversation on with us over the internet. And, you know, I'm not doubting that that's possible. never doubt that. I've had enough dealings with people over the internet that I know that's easy for it to happen. I mean, even when I'm talking one-on-one, and right now, folks, I don't know if you know it or not, I don't even see the monitor, so I don't see the whole thing that people say. Terry's between you and me, Terry. Doesn't get to tell me everything that's on there. If he did, we wouldn't get into as much as we do. But he's able to tell me some things. So I truly don't get the whole thread, you know, that's going on there. But sometimes I get a feeling. And I know that God is sovereign. Did you know that some people have gross error, but they're hungry for truth? And God would be merciful with those people, especially if they are his elect from the foundation of the world. They've been chosen by him to be his from the foundation of the world. But I want to tell you that just as it was in Jesus' day, it is in our day. And that is, the overwhelming majority of people who call themselves Christians are not elect from the foundation of the world, because the Bible says many are called but few are chosen. I want to point out to you the way Jesus dealt with some of these people was very hard. You know, I was corrected. I was told that God is a God of love, and that's certainly true. God is a God of love, but he doesn't love everybody, and I'm going to prove that to you. Okay. And Jesus proved that the way he spoke to some people. Did you notice how he dealt with the self-righteous people of God, so-called, who were in gross error? Number one thing Jesus said, he said, he that is of God, he said this to God's people, the Jews, he that is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. Well, that's pretty harsh. That's not really loving at all. I would, you know, the same man that he was complaining about on the internet called me an idiot. I never called him an idiot. Okay? I never called him an idiot, but I wasn't really graceful with him. But I want to point out something to you. Jesus was not in error when he was very hard on these people. He said, I do always those things I see of my Father. And John the Baptist wasn't in error when he called them a brood of serpents. You understand, all through the scriptures, God was very hard on these people, and the people that believed them and stood with them and were under them that wouldn't repent. It's funny that Jesus was so merciful with some people that were very deep sinners, but were interested in a way out, in other words. He perceived in them the drawing and the calling of God. He was very merciful with them. He ate with publicans and sinners, but it was like he couldn't stand the leaders of God's people. Wonder why? Was that love? Well, it was God's love, because Jesus came in the express image of God. And it was God's love, not necessarily for that person, but for the people around them who were being plundered by them. Do you understand that some people on this earth, their sole purpose is to deceive you into some reprobate doctrine so that you won't know God, you won't repent, you won't have any motivation. These people have no motivation to repent. Unconditional eternal security, perfection from the cross in which they don't have to enter into because they're perfect forever. And they think it's just foolishness that we don't believe in unconditional eternal security. Folks, I'm going to tell you, some of those people, they are reprobate. They will not enter the kingdom. All they want to do is to deceive you. And, you know, only the Lord can really give us discernment which of the people of God are like that and which of them are actually just needing to hear the truth one time so that they can come out of that. Because some people do. When they hear the truth, when they see what the Word actually says, God has mercy on them. He opens their understanding and they come right out, because He knew them from the foundation of the world. But there are some people that Jesus said who were shocked. He said to them, "I never knew you." Very religious people. Can you imagine in Christianity today? I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. In Christianity today, we are in the exact same situation as Jesus was with the Jews. There were a majority of people in Jesus' time, just like there is in this time, that are sons of the devil, and they're never going to come out of apostasy and never going to love the truth and never going to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus spoke so harshly to them. They were there as sons of the devil to deceive the people of God. Doctrines that don't have any foundation in Scripture, the only reason that they have a foundation in people's hearts is because that person seeks to justify themselves. They don't care about submitting to God. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to be a disciple, which is a learner and a follower of God. They only want to justify themselves so that they can live in sin and go to heaven one day. And they're perfect. Oh yeah, they're perfect. But you know what? The Lord does not love everybody. And that's the reason Jesus spoke that way concerning them. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Let me show you something here. I got the feeling that from the email that Jesus was in error, because actually it just caused him a lot of trouble to speak to these people that way. Well, you know what? We're not out in this world to be loved by the world. It will cause us a lot of trouble to speak truth to the wicked, because the wicked will hate you for it. And they might even call you an idiot. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's read this right here. 6. For it's not as though the word of God hath come to naught, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And I want to say that the same is true of the church. Not everyone that calls himself a Christian is a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Christian means bearing fruit. Christian means obedience. And they don't want doctrines like that around them. You see, because they can't obey. Because they don't really have faith. Okay? Verse 7. Neither because they are Abraham's seed are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So it's just, it's not all of Abraham's seed that's going to enter the kingdom, but those that are the elect. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, it's not the children of the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise, reckoned for a seed. The children who actually believe the promise, that's the kind he's talking about here. These are the real seed of the kingdom. Because the word of God is the seed of the kingdom. So this is a word of promise. According to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Election means the same word for chosen or choosing, according to the chosen. That the purpose of God according to the chosen might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now folks, look at this. God, who knows all and everyone from the foundation of the world, even before the foundation of the world, said before either one of these had been born and done anything good or bad, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Well, wait a minute. These were both of the seed of Abraham. Esau claimed to be a child of God, but he sold his birthright by following after the flesh, it says in Hebrews. One mess of meat, one mess of flesh, he sold his birthright, the Bible says. Still claiming to be a child of God. Still claiming to be a son of Abraham. Right? You know, the Jews said, we're sons of Abraham. He said, if you were sons of Abraham, you'd love me. If you were sons of Abraham. Now, they were physically sons of Abraham. There's a lot of Christians like that. I go to church. I believe in Jesus. But I'm once saved, always saved, because I don't really want to obey. It's a convenient doctrine. I can live like hell and go to heaven. Yeah? Or many other such doctrines. You know, unconditional eternal security, all fly away. You cannot, some of those people, actually, when you show them the truth, boy, they jump right into it, both feet. Some of you out there, you did it. Once you saw that you'd been lied to, you had a heart for God and came right in. You understood that that was one of those convenient doctrines so I could live like hell and fly away before any trouble came. I wouldn't have to reap the rewards of a wicked life, right? But the truth is, God said, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. You don't hear much about the hate of God, do you? You hear this false doctrine that God loves everybody. God loves the whole world, right? They don't read the rest of the verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. What particular part of the whole world is He talking about there? Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, that kind of narrows it down a little bit, doesn't it?
A whole lot
narrows it down. I challenge you to find the unconditional love for every man that's been taught in the apostate churches. It's just not there, folks. It's a lie. It's not in the Scriptures. And I tell you how you can know one from the other. Because obviously, Jacob and Esau were both born of the same father. So how can you tell from God's perspective who is a child of God and who's a child of the devil? They both had the same religion. Jesus got discernment. He knew who was a son of the devil. He had that godly discernment because the Word was in him. You know something? I'm not claiming perfect discernment. I make mistakes, but I do know where perfect discernment comes from. It comes from the Word being manifested in you. The more of the Word you've got, the more you see things the way God sees things. And some people may not see things the same way as you, but the Word does give you discernment. And sometimes it's not all natural. No, Jesus said, "He that's of God hears the words of God." There's a natural way you can tell when somebody's of God. They will recognize the Word and they will follow it. Maybe not all at the same time. Maybe not at this particular time in their life. But they will. Okay? Because the Lord will draw them. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws. So, and the Father will draw them and they will come. Okay? Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They shall hear and they shall come." So that's a natural way you can tell when somebody's of God. There's other spiritual ways you can tell. The Holy Spirit can just put it in your heart. See, some people listen to Jesus rebuking their preachers that they respected. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, today we're in the same situation. Some of these preachers are reprobates. Matter of fact, time actually usually tells that. We just talked here a while back about a particular preacher who's one of the biggest. He was in some kind of debauchery. And we're about to hear a lot more of that, folks. These people that they put on pedestals, and yet they're proving to be sons of the devil. Now, how could they get in that position? It's very simple. Do you know who the God of Babylon is? I'm talking about religious Babylon. You know who the God of Babylon is? In the Bible, it tells you very plainly it's the devil. How did he sneak in there? Well, religion has made a religion that's not true Christianity. They've made up their own doctrines, convenient doctrines, so that they could call themselves Christians. There's no repentance. We're hearing a John the Baptist ministry going forth right now. It's just before the man-child ministry, by the way. Lots of people preaching, "Repent, repent, repent. Judgment's coming, repent." Just like John the Baptist. What did John say of these people? The leaders of God's people. That, in today, that would be a type of the leaders of Christianity. Call them a brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Look, they were coming to get baptized of him. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You go bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and then you come get baptized. Well, that wasn't loving, was it? Some people don't know what loving. Love is to submit to God and submit to His Spirit. You better love God more than you love man. There's a lot of humanism in Christianity. The Arminian doctrine that crept into the church over here in America is humanism. It's not Christianity. Read your Bible. We have a set of tapes, a set of audios there on the streaming audios about predestination, election, foreknowledge, these things. In fact, I think it's the first one in there. If you get a chance and you haven't heard those, go back and listen to those. It will open your mind to know that there are two kinds of people in Christianity. There are sons of God and sons of the devil. And they both call themselves Christians. Remember what Jesus said? The tares were sown among the wheat. And the kingdom of heaven, he said, they were sown. Isn't that interesting? How in the world could tares get into the kingdom? They're amongst the people of God who are the kingdom of heaven on earth. And they're sown in there. And an enemy hath done this, Jesus said. And he knew them. He knew them when he saw them. He did not choose you 12. One of you is a devil. He said, there was one in their midst. And who else? I mean, God had to have one there to crucify Jesus. So they'll be among us too. There are sons of perdition in the church among us too. And I'll tell you what, God is able to point them out. I'll tell you what, they won't ever accept the truth of sanctification. They will justify themselves. But they're, I'm okay, you're okay type doctrines, you know. Well, he said here, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. You don't hear much about God's hatred, but Jesus told us very plainly who he loved and who he didn't love. You believe there's some people Jesus didn't love and the Father doesn't love? Look at John 14. Let me give you an example. Verse 21. Yes, God is love, but God is also the one that sent judgment and wrath. God is the one who destroyed Judaism in 70 AD. God is the one that sent the flood upon the earth. Doesn't sound like He loved those people, does it? Well, let's see if it's true. John 14 and 21. You say, well, David, didn't God say He loved us while we were yet sinners? Yes, He did. But I want to point out to you, while Jacob and Esau were still in their mother's womb, before they'd done anything good or bad, God said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. You mean God loves by faith? God loves you because He foreknows you? That's exactly right. He knows even before. When Jesus said, I never knew you, isn't that interesting? He did not know these people to be His from the very foundation of the world. And they thought they were Christians. Isn't that interesting? Now, you can't think you're Christians and bear fruit and miss heaven. It's not possible. The very fact that you bear fruit, that is God's signature on you. See, the fruit of Jesus is what's entering the kingdom. But think of how many doctrines destroy that fruit. Think of how many doctrines permit you to live like you are without bearing fruit, feeling no responsibility to bear fruit. But Jesus didn't say any of those people would enter, only those that bore the fruit. Remember what Jesus actually did say in John chapter 3. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. It is Christ in you that's going to heaven. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is Christ in you. So you do have to bear fruit. And all your convenient doctrines will just deceive you and make you think it's okay to not bear fruit and not to be a follower of Christ. Only disciples are going to enter the kingdom. Verse 21. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. Did you get that? You need to underline that. That's the truth. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Well, now, where's the unconditional love for all mankind that you hear in that verse? It's just not there, is it? And Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Oh, very interesting. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Interesting. Now Jesus is getting revelation here. How are you going to prove your love to us and not the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now that's very plain. The Father nor Jesus loves everybody. But they do love their own. Matter of fact, in chapter 15 and verse 10, he says, If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Where's that unconditional love? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus laid down his life for his friends, right? But who is his friends? Verse 14.
You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. Where is the unconditional eternal security for people that don't have the works of God in them? That don't obey His commandments? Where is it? It's just not in the Scripture. We've been lied to. The devil snuck in. He's the king of Babylon. See, it does matter what you believe. It does matter that you study the Scriptures and find out exactly what they say. In Proverbs 8 and 17, the wisdom of God says, I love them that love me. Whoa. Hey, that's not unconditional there. Proverbs 8 and 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me diligently shall find me. You know who the wisdom of God is? Three times in the New Testament we're told the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. Three times. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. You know? And here's wisdom speaking. Wisdom speaks in the beginning of Proverbs here. I love them that love me, and those that seek me diligently shall find me. Interesting. Well, while we're on that, let's go and look at Psalm 5 and 5. See, nobody talks about the hate of God. Does God hate? Well, he hated Esau. Can the word be wrong? No way. And the Scripture cannot lie, it says.
God's word is not wrong, put it that way.
That's right. If you see something wrong with the way Jesus answered the Pharisees, guess what? It's your problem, not his, because he was right. Psalm 5 and 5 says, the arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. The Lord hates workers of iniquity. Wonder if that means Christians too. If they're workers of iniquity, if they're not repentant, if they're not under the blood because of faith in what Jesus did at the cross, thou, God, hates all workers of iniquity. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Look at 11, Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So the Lord hates. Isn't that interesting? Now, we're righteous. We're accounted righteous by our faith. But you know, people that have real faith, God gives them grace. And they bear fruit. And they start walking in His steps. There are a lot of people that don't have faith. The Bible says, all have not faith. When He's talking about the righteous, not all Christians, when He's talking about the righteous, He hath given to every man the measure of faith. But then, He warned them that all have not faith. You know, there are people around you that really don't have faith. The only way they can be comfortable is to have convenient doctrines. So they accept them very easily. They preach them. And no matter how many verses you give to them, they will not depart from them because that's where their security is. They can only be secure by accepting convenient doctrines because they don't have faith. Religion is just a way to justify self. Look at Proverbs 6. Verse 16 says, there are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven, which are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You know, by the way, do you know one way that you shed innocent blood? The Bible says if you don't speak the truth, their blood is upon your hands. If you don't warn the wicked, their blood is upon your hands. You shed blood by teaching people lies to make them trust in a lie so that they don't believe that they have to repent to walk with God.
When you say the wicked, what do you mean the wicked?
Well, I would say the wicked are those people that teach a lie, in this case right here.
So you're talking about supposedly like preachers are out there preaching false doctrine?
Yeah, to deceive God's people, to not understand that they have to repent and believe. The man took issue with my taking issue with the fact that there is nothing in the Bible about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we are commanded to repent and believe. Repent and believe, not accept.
Yeah, what's accept mean?
It's a lying gospel. Anybody can come into the church by accepting Jesus. Anybody. As a matter of fact, while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. While men had their eyes closed to the light, which is the Word of God, the church is filled up with tares.
That's like saying that we have that we're not saved by grace by saying that we can accept or not accept Jesus. No. We have that choice. When in fact we don't have a choice whether to accept Jesus or not. That's not part of the... It's not scriptural at all.
No, that's not scriptural at all, because the Bible says that God grants repentance. Only a true believer can repent. Anybody can accept. You know why they want to give that gospel? They want to fill the church up with tithers. That's why they want to make it easy to make them look good by filling the altar with people. See, they count the number of people that come to the altar. And if they don't get anybody down there through repentance, they say, well, come down and renew your life or renew your walk with God or whatever. You know, they got to show something for their ministry. It kind of makes them look funny if they stand up there and give an altar call and nobody comes, right? So they start lowering the bar, so to speak. So he says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked purposes, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's pretty much talking about people all the way, isn't it? Well, the Lord says he hates them. He hates them. Look at Hosea 9. After Daniel. Hosea chapter 9, verse 15. Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about God's people. Verse 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them because of the wickedness of their doings. If there was eternal security, how come they didn't have it? How come God didn't love them? Because of their wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. Oh, that's definitely not unconditional eternal security. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Folks, that's where the church is. You get your eyes open. That's exactly where most of what we're calling the church is. They're rebelling against the Word of God. They're going their own way, doing their own thing. They are defiled. You know, the first fruits in Revelation 14, they were not defiled with women. That's the sects of Christianity. Just as in Jesus' day, anybody that was defiled with those sects of Judaism had to repent and come out and follow him. So, it's obvious that God does not love everybody that calls themselves a Christian. Matter of fact, look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Good example. You ever see some Christians that just seem like they never have any trouble? Everything goes smooth for them? And they really don't even obey God, don't follow God, not interested in digging into the Bible, repenting, doing the will of God. But they go to church.
So what's the deal with that?
Yeah, right. Well, look at Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. You know, this, you might find this interesting, but the Lord is not chastening the wicked who are not called to be his. There's no point. The Lord chastens sons. Like I said, have you ever noticed that there are some people that seem to have a charmed life, but they're gross pagans. And even some in the church who don't serve God, are not disciples of Jesus Christ, they don't ever seem to have any problems.
What about reaping what's being sown?
Yeah. Well, they will ultimately reap what's being sown.
But it's also on this earth.
But there's a difference between chastening. Chastening is something that a parent does to bring you to repentance.
Humbles you.
A curse is something that's upon the whole world. That's obvious. But chastening is something that the parent does because of love to bring you to repentance. And he chastens every son that he receives. It's for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastening, whereof we have all been made partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's not love. Well, that's not love, is it? Interesting. Did Jesus actually come to save the whole world? Of course, the sacrifice is there for whosoever will, right? Jesus died for whosoever will. My question is, who will? Now, you've asked people to come to Christ. You've invited people to come to Christ. You've shared with them the gospel. And some of them, they have no desire whatsoever. And it is for whosoever will, but the Bible says God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. When you see someone that comes, is interested in God, they love God, it's because God has called them. He has put a desire in them to come. He that's of God hears the words of God. The overwhelming majority of people that you talk to about the Lord, they don't hear the words of God. They don't have any interest. Does that mean God loves them? Not if they don't have any interest. Look at John 16 and 27. For the Father Himself loveth you because you have loved Me. And how do we know that we love Jesus? He said, if you keep My commandments, you love Me. The Father Himself loveth you because you have loved Me and have believed that I am come forth from the Father. Another one. Look at John 13 and 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour was come and that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, notice that, having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Jesus loved His own. That's an interesting statement. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. You know, among the people of God, the Lord knows whom He has chosen, because the Bible says He chose us in Him from the foundation of the world. Many are called, but few are chosen. The many called that don't ultimately get chosen are unprofitable servants that will be cast forth into outer darkness. That's what the Bible says. Jesus loved His own. Chapter 10 and verse 16 says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." He didn't say all the whole world, did He? Notice that. He's not saying the whole world. You know, if the Father draws you, you come to Christ. Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." Did you hear that? Why is it that people listen to the Word of God, humble themselves to the Word of God, come unto Him and bear fruit? Because the Father loves them from the foundation of the world. He loved them by faith. He loved them you know, the Father sees the end from the beginning. He loves by faith. So, you mean there's two sinners in the world. One of them He loves, and the other one He hates. That's what we just read in Romans chapter 9. Jacob was a pretty conniving fellow too, wasn't he? Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. But you see, God wasn't through with Jacob. God knew what He was going to make out of Jacob. He also knew what Esau was going to be. And He hated him before he was even born. Because you see, God doesn't live in time. He perceives the whole thing from where He stands. He doesn't dwell in time. He spans time. He is eternal. He sees the whole picture from the very beginning. Look at Matthew 20 and 28. Do you think that Jesus actually came to redeem them that were foreknown from the foundation of the world? Or did He come to save the whole world? Listen to what He said. "Father, I pray for those whom Thou hast given me. I pray not for the world." That's what John 17 says. "I pray not for the world, but for those whom Thou hast given." He didn't even pray for the world, folks. He prayed for the ones that the Father gave Him from the foundation of the world. You know what? He was totally interested in doing the Father's will. He wasn't here to save people who were not savable. Say, David, that sounds like predestination. What does the Bible say? Romans 8, read it. Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to get off on predestination right now. But there is, in the streaming audios, the very first teaching is a kind of a long teaching, you'll notice. But it's nothing but Bible. Nothing but Bible. If you've heard that Arminian doctrine out there, you might think that God is here to save the whole world. He's not. Listen, folks. The Bible says all Israel shall be saved. All Israel. God is not here to save the Canaanites. He's here to save Israel. Israel was chosen out of this world to be the people of God. Real Israel. Again, we're talking about Isaac, not Ishmael, even though they might have been born of the same father. We're talking about Jacob, not Esau, even though they might have been born of the same father and had the same religion. There are lots of Christians, but very few disciples. Okay, Matthew 20 and verse 28 is an interesting verse.
It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know what? It's interesting, but it never says all in the Bible.